So I want to thank you all for coming. This is actually the last artist talk of the season, and we're very excited to have Josh here for the slight perverse reason to have the last sort of drawing-related talk be with someone who's associated with painting, but also because I think there's actually fundamental ideas in Josh's work and in his background as a printmaker, which I think are really relevant to the work, the sort of procedural foundation of the work, and ideas that have to do with the graphic nature of his painting, issues of subject matter, and again, sort of procedural issues. One of the things we talked a lot about last time we saw each other was just the idea of ideas in painting, and good ideas and bad ideas in printmaking, and how it relates to those. So it's very exciting to have you here. And he's brought some books along, and he has some PowerPoint, which is always extremely exciting.
What's the other option?
You can pass the book around if you want to. And the other one thing I think would be really interesting to discuss is also an artist who sort of elicits. You've been called both sincere and profligate, which I think is kind of an interesting.
What's profligate? It makes a lot.
It's not good.
What's profligate?
The way they use it. But I think eliciting that kind of response is something I'm very interested in. So you're sort of overproductive, which I think is should be a good thing. But
I just want to give every.
Tonight, I would just like to give all of you an introduction of my work and talk about what I do, and because I don't know exactly either what I do, but I do make a lot of work, and it doesn't really matter. The main reason I do it is because it's all built into the process of how I work, so it's just a byproduct of how I work. And I make a lot of books.
Go ahead. And I can spread the other. I can work the other room, the other side of the room.
I'm sorry. I'm.
I just wanted you guys to look at these if you want to sort of pass them around, and don't worry about handling them or anything. We can start the slideshow too.
Okay.
Can you see where the icon is?
Yeah. You gotta go all the way up. If I make the computer the cord.
Here, you tell me.
There we go. See it?
Mm-hmm.
There. You show. All these photos, half of them Jacob, who's the guy who works for me, who's here, took off the collected from the internet. And then I looked at them, and then I added some more just to sort of buffer it out with photos from my iPhoto collection. So I don't really, this is just going to give you an overview of what I do as an artist. I'm mostly, the first things that I did were these name paintings where I just painted my name and can you see?
Yeah.
How?
I can see from the corner of my eye. Do you want me to, I can stand with
you. I'll stand with you if you want. I can point to things if you want me to. Want to come sit right here?
Sure.
Everybody should be able to see. We're all sitting here. And so the main paintings were an idea where I started doing in college, and that was just using my name. In printmaking, when I was learning all these processes, it was using the name gave me an opportunity to. I didn't have to use.
Is it on? I'm sorry, guys. Ready? Hello. So, the name paintings gave me an opportunity to really just enjoy being an artist that are really at a chance when you're not really supposed to know anything about what you're doing. It was a buffer. It protected me from a lot of people criticizing me And I looked stupid, but it didn't matter because I was learning a lot of different things. And when people did start to understand that it doesn't really matter what, that's a name painting in Japanese. But when people did start to realize that what the name paintings mean, then I didn't really feel like I needed them anymore. So the name paintings kind of took me through a difficult time of learning what it meant to work hard at something like so silly and almost like art. Because when I can start printmaking and use the name, like just write Joss Smith on a litho stone, you know, you print it and it comes backwards and it gives you just a lot to think about. And you're looking at your name and it's humiliating. It's not my style. There's a lot of things like that make me uncomfortable. And if I put my name on something also and someone didn't like it, then I understood why they didn't like it. Whereas if I didn't put my name on it, then why would somebody like something with someone's name on it? So I made those paintings for a few years, which is like, we're talking about 7 years here. I'm not old. This is only a few years. And so everything's really condensed. And also you should know that in 1999, the building that I was living in and working in burned down. So I lost everything and I had a chance to start over. So at that time I standardized the scales of all my paintings and standardized the scales of these little photocopy booklets. I just took some things to make my life easier. I had an opportunity to evaluate everything I'd done and start completely over, which was one good positive thing. And you can see how the name paintings, they fluctuate from... It's a pretty transparent way to like show emo without being gross, because it just seeps out. It just seeps out when you write your name. You can tell how a person feels and all this, and it's stupid, but I don't care because the paintings just look so good to me. Like, frankly, like that's another reason why I make a lot of things, is because I like the way they look so much, and I wish that they would. I wish, and when, you know, as long as they don't take up too much space, then I don't really care how many there are. And I like to have paintings like stacks of canvases, so they're just like stacks of paper. Like you can just sit there when you're trying to think of an idea for something, and you can just waste them. And I work really hard to get to that point. Like, I worked for 2 years. I built 300 stretchers so I could, and I stacked them, and my back went out really badly in the middle. But when it was done and they were all stretched and primed, and I'm still using these. There's just a stack of 300 stretchers. I could just use them, and I don't have any fear. You know, it's great because I earned. God, Jacob. I've lost a lot of weight too. This was a show in Detroit where they wanted to look at books. Then I started taking out the name and unraveling it and making it, using sort of the forms and shapes and just making it abstraction. So I broke abstraction down into just abstract motifs like squiggles and shapes of colors and zigzags, and just layered them in different colors till they just, you know, they look like the type of painting that none of us can ever afford. Like, I feel like they just look, I get a lot from them. Like, I feel like I'm looking at something that I didn't make, and that's another good test for how I put things through. Like, I like to look like things are just delivered, like wrapped in wrapping paper, and I opened them up. And, that last painting you saw was a palette. Somewhere along the line, I started saving palettes, too, because when I started thinking about abstract painting, I realized that the palettes, you know, that is better than I'm ever going to be able to do. Like, to free it to, at some point, too, I read about apes and stuff that make paintings, and how, and I was thinking about how you can make something just without thinking about it, but you are thinking about it. And the palettes were as close as you could get, a human can get, to making an ape painting. Because I'm really working on something else, like I'm an, and I started keeping those, and I'm not explaining the palettes very eloquently, but I'm trying to give this, say things in this talk that I haven't said in other talks, because there's a few people here that have been in other talks. So you're getting all new stuff, like all new lines and stuff. These are collages that I've made with labeling. I take all these old posters and newspapers and just fix them to these boards. And I don't cut anything. There's nothing fussy, you know. It's just, so, and I make them flat on a table, and when I stand them up, they just look like, you know, I'm looking at them for the first time, too. Like, I feel like I'm looking at something, because for the first time. If anybody wants to ask me anything, because I'm leaving out tons of stuff about anything that's going by, just speak up, and it won't be a big deal. These are recent abstract paintings, but you're really getting an overview of what one person's made in the last few years. That's what you're seeing right here. And just keep in mind, like, everything's pretty much the same size, 4 by 5 feet. That's just a poster. See, these are just from the internet. I'm trying to get a real archive together right now so I can do this more professionally. But really, this is okay, because I get to look at it too. It's not fair that I should have already had watched this. This is a palette. The palettes are, I mean, what can you say? You can put your own feelings into them. Obviously, they're like colorful oil paint clouds that are on these little canvases. Like, they're all, you don't know how they're gonna look. This is the first show I did. These are more collages. But the work, I really don't feel, and I'm really speaking about how I feel right now, like today. Like, I don't really feel that much control over it necessarily. Like, usually I just go in there and work, and I'm trying throughout the day to pull a few things together that look okay, so, you know, I don't feel like a piece of garbage for being an artist all day. This is my first show. This was at Rena Spalling's. This was the first show I did in New York, and they put up my name on the sign. This is announcement paintings that, another thing I make is these announcements where I just draw something, like some information, and screen it, silk screen it onto a white canvas, really straightforward. It just marks time. Like, a lot of my art's about just marking time. These are books that I've, this is a set of encyclopedias I've made. This was in I made 50 of these. And I make a lot of, you get the idea. This going downhill. How much time is left? Oh yeah. There's no reason to keep anything that's not good. There's just no reason. Like, if you keep something that's good, that's not good, also you can just work over stuff. Like, you don't have to throw it away. Like, art shouldn't be so hit or miss. Like, it's nice to build, like, a nice soft spot to slide into. And that's sort of what I've done. And, you know, I really do enjoy doing shows and stuff. It's sort of my thing. And that's why, ultimately, I think I moved to New York, because to be more of an exhibitionist. I think we're all there for that reason, because why else? I mean, if we're artists, I really try to put these shows together nice and tight, so.
I have an objection for you, though.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I have a slight objection because I think a lot of people, when they first approach the work, they see or some people have said that there's a kind of, there's a, for the lack of a better word, there's a kind of posture, there's a kind of position, like there's a confrontation with painting as a thing, whether it's painting the subject, the perennial problem of subject matter, like what are you going to paint, to something about the status of painting as an art object. And this, I think, really came out in full force in this in your last show where you switched the paintings mid-show, which people seem to really have a big problem with. So I think it's interesting to, you know, to think about this, these repetitive motifs that you keep using and that the way you speak about the work and the sort of what might be a misreading on other people's part, that there is a kind of lucid position about what, you know, what the art object is or authorship or all those kind of things. I mean, is that something you think about when you're making the work? Do you take that on as a...
I mean, I really feel like I'm walking a fine line. Like, I don't feel comfortable at all. There's not a comfort level or anything. It's just...
But you'll stand, like, you'll make something and stand, you know, a couple of feet away from it and be like, that's amazing.
Well, that's because, not because I made it, it's because we exist in a world that we're looking at a piece of fabric that has this little, colorful little poem on it or something. Like, I think of art in a really romantic way, like it's a real luxury thing to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel really lucky every day to be around it and to be able to live and work around people who care about it. Like, it's a big deal for me, and I don't take it lightly, and so I don't take my role as an artist that seriously. Like, I'm just happy to be here, necessarily. If I happen to make these things, and we're all here tonight, and it's amazing that so many people would come here for me, and I'm very, very honored. It's just, but I really feel that this is how I talk to people, like, with the work. It's embarrassing. And I don't like to verbalize it, but it's just a way. It's a take it or leave it way of talking to somebody. If they don't want to look at it or don't like it, it's okay, really.
But there is a. I think there's even just from looking at the slideshow, there is a very sort of seamless connection between your thinking through drawing or thinking through the books, which I think you do. Mm-hmm. That there is a kind of almost. There's an immediacy to the drawings and to the books that gets you somewhere, or at least I've always thought so. And I think there's a link between the name paintings and the abstraction. The, you know, dealing with the letter being equivalent to the brushstroke, and this idea of this sort of rhetorical idea of abstraction that you also mentioned. That you kind of look at the palette paintings as ready-made paintings in a way, and getting rid of yourself in the act, but then also putting yourself in. By having it be so coded by your name. I think it's hard for people to kind of juggle those two things because they seem like you're being disingenuous in some way, which I always find interesting because I don't think you are.
Well, I mean, it's a work in progress. I'm trying to be as ingenuous as I can be. Like, I really would not try to get over on anybody. Hmm. Like, I'm really trying to lay it on the line. Like, I'm not trying to get over on anybody, but I understand because I get really ticked off too. And
you're a pretty harsh critic.
Oh yeah. Like, it's a two-way street. So I like when hate is sort of a Descartes thing for me. If someone hates something, it means I exist. Like, if someone can muster enough energy to hate me, then that's cool. Like, when someone rips me to shreds.
But as you said.
But I don't want right. It. Like, I want people to love me. That's why I'm here. I'm here because I didn't want to say no.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here.
Do you have a hard time saying no?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're supposed to say no when I ask you that question.
I have a hard time saying no. That's my artist statement.
But I think what you said is that people love or hate the work for ostensibly the same reason.
I'm sorry?
That you said that early on you sort of wanted people to love or hate the work for the same reason. that you would know why they loved it or they hated it. And I think that's true. I think people love and hate the work for exactly the same reasons.
I could get myself in so much trouble. Well, you know, when something, you go from making something to, so that you understand why someone doesn't like something. Like, you put the name on something knowing that it's going to make them say, like, it's not credible until it's credible. Like, you're an idiot until it's like, oh, I want that. And so, the easiest thing to do, like, when somebody, like, when people really, like, look at, it's ridiculous to look at a painting that says Joss Smith and be like, I want that. So I just said, like, I just sort of, I've made him try, I have an opportunity. Being an artist in New York is also like an art supply. Like, you can use New York like an art supply because you're around a lot of people who are constantly, like, peeling off layers of your, you know, notepad and just... It just sort of becomes sort of like an art, like a type of, New York is like an art supply. It makes the art look a certain way. It sort of has, and I see these veins in a lot of art that's made in the city where it has this vein, I see this, I don't know what it is, but there is an urban look.
Do you think it has something to do with trying to put authenticity or sincerity into work that doesn't have it or is formal and you want it to be sincere or authentic in some way?
Well, it's not going to be either of those things to me ever. Because it's 20 square feet, like 4 by 5 feet of surface. Like, and I just try to fill it like the best way I can, like, and I do it over and over again. And if no one wants it or likes it, then I'll deal with it. However, I'll just have to deal with it. Like, maybe I'll change, I don't know. I mean, it's a house of cards for me. I don't really care at all. I'm just trying to make these things look as, you know, I just work on one at a time. And I look and I square up and look at each one and think about it, and they're like poems, and they might not be very good, but it's still poetry. It's still like you can still bind it into a little book, and it means something to me. And if I died tonight, like, I would be happy that I had this outlet. Frankly, I mean, it's really great that you guys are here. This is great for me.
Well, at this point, I think probably everyone has seen at least a couple of the books, so maybe you can sort of tell us a bit about those, and which you're actually working on one. I saw one in process that you're doing now.
I make a lot of books, like a lot, like thousands and thousands and a lot. And I make them on photocopy machines, and sometimes we use found materials, and the books give me an opportunity to explore a lot of things in art that won't necessarily ever make it into the paintings. Things like, you know, pictorial things or things that involve like a lot of correspondence, like things, when you put something, it just comes from printmaking, the bookmaking. It comes from when I was in school and they taught us to bind books, and I realized that if you bind something, it's like setting it in concrete or something. It helps to make it a little, slightly more permanent. So when you don't have anything as an artist and you're just scribbling on every little piece of paper you can find, and you can make that little stuff into a book, it just makes, it means something. And I learned to respect that medium a lot. And I like it, and it's portable. And I gave those books, and I still do, to everybody, you know. So it's just like another way to communicate with somebody. I'm just as crazy as like people who people love books. I mean, people, that's just, it's just a weird, it's just thing, and they're not, it's a shame that they, the idea with the books is just to make it not a big deal. Like, you could just hold this thing and look at it and then put it away and then move on to something else. They're just, my art is just little things in your life that you look at and then you go on to something else. And hopefully you go on to something else either feeling the same or feeling like you saw something kind of interesting rather than feeling worse. Like, when you look at art and you feel worse, that's really bad. I'm just trying to maintain or go up.
Do you find that the books were less daunting because you didn't have to, there wasn't as much baggage in thinking about filling up a painting? Or
no, after the fire, I would go to Staples with like stacks of little things, and this is just how I would make these books. I'd stand there for hours with like $10, and just when I ran out of money, I'd make, you know, and I'd just photocopy them all, and I'd take them home, and I bought a big stapler, and I'd staple them, and it was just a way to make something real that resembled like real art that you see. Like, I consider books as art, so that's, and when the books, when I standardized the scale, I realized you could have a, you know, you could have a selection of them there. They kind of, it's sculpture. They become a sculpture almost.
Could you make the box?
I make these wooden cases and stuff. And all this is, all when you're doing all these things, it gives you time to think about other stuff. It's like, it's good to take time to do other things. It gives you time to think about other things in your life. That's just how, I mean, it's just a healthy thing to do. And so the books are like that.
I just, somebody just told me that when Agnes Martin used to be, would draw, she apparently thought about English teacups. That's what she spent her time thinking about. Which is not what we think about when we look at.
If Agnes Martin did a lecture, it wouldn't go that good either. she writes really well. Like, she writes these little blurbs. It's just beautiful, but I'm just sorry. I mean, I want to be up here. I want to be like Tom Cruise in Magnolia.
Well, one of the things that struck me when we had the first conversation we had was the, again, this sense of distance that people sometimes equate with the work and the fact that, you know, you do make your own stretchers, you make your own books. So there's a sort of physical, almost like labor value aspect to the work.
That's wearing off. That just comes from working class. Like, that's just like my, you know, that's just, it's just like when I love building stuff and I like to build stuff, but it really takes a toll on my body. Like, my hands fall apart and my back falls apart. Just when you're, especially when you're doing something repetitively like that, like running a long piece of wood through the same piece of wood through a table saw all day, just making one cut. It's great. It gives you, you really start thinking in a really, it's really like being around all that sawdust is really like being on some weird drugs or something, because it really gets you fucked up, but you don't want to do that because it takes a toll on your body. But I'm glad I did it, and I would do it again, but I would do it differently. I would never repeat what I did there. That was really stupid. The first time I made 20, and I thought I could do 300, and I went for it, and it really, really took a toll on my body. But it really made me a, like, I earned that right to waste those paintings, and that's cool. I paint all sorts of stuff. Like, I don't just paint my name and stuff. Like, I can paint anything, and I don't make a big deal about it. Like, I just want the things to look good. Like, when there's a show, like, I will be there, and I will nail it. That's my thing.
Do you want to talk about the cheetah?
No. No, I don't talk about anything until it's finished.
Okay. What about the fish?
Yeah, the fish are coming. They're at the end. So now I've started thinking, like, I could use this situation that I'm in to really explore things like that are in the books. So I've been going, like, I love fish. Like, I love underwater, the idea of, like, being underwater and You know, I'm sure everybody does. You know, it's cool down there. And so I always draw fish. In one of these books you can see, like, I have drawn every fish from Tennessee where I'm from. Like, I like the way they look. I like how simple they are to draw. You can draw it with two lines, and it's just something sort of automatic about it. You know, maybe it comes from the name or the abstract paintings. I don't care, because when I present it, it's going to look as good as I can make it. This is a thing I did for Printed Matter. They asked me to decorate this wall with announcements. That's that Detroit show again. But now I'm working in this pictorial way. Like, I really don't trust it. Like, I'm really, really struggling with it.
You don't trust the pictorial?
No, I hate to say that I'm struggling with something, because it's embarrassing. But I am. Like, it's just, they don't look good enough. So I'm working on them. And I brought some here so you could see what I mean. But they're at the end. You probably saw them. This was just ending when we were starting. This is an announcement that I made for this show that Franz West sort of curated. That's the fucker, their ficker. I like those announcement paintings because they're great. They're great to remember. So much stuff happens in your life, and when you can mark something like with a little painting, it's cool. And they look good to see something about how the canvas is so white and that black ink just sits right on top of it. It's cool. You can see these, everything just runs together. Do you think it's going to get boring? Is it boring? Lay it out there. Come on. I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean,
yeah, boring's bad.
Well, no, there's a lot of great boring art, right?
No.
Like, I think there is. I think between like 1967 and 1978.
Well, that art is so much about context. And like, context is, maybe this is my strongest thing as an artist, is I really don't like to, I like to fit in the context. I don't like to make a scene or anything. Like, I like just...
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on, yeah.
No, but there's a provocation in the work, don't you think, of taking that position of being, you know, taking Josh Smith, overcoating it, you know, making these paintings that people are, you know, that are expressive but not expressive. They're sort of rhetorically abstract and, you know, I mean, people...
I'm really just starting to process it, so... I really slip out of my skin when I do this stuff.
I mean, what I find particularly fascinating in just you relating to the paintings is there is a, which I actually didn't realize, that there is a, you have an intense personal connection to every single painting that you're sort of around. You can recall, you say, oh, this is, check this one out. You know, you sort of remember the paintings extremely well and have a kind of a intimate relationship with them, which I think a lot of people also don't see.
Well, they're just like me. They're my size and everything. Like, they're just like me.
Except the palette paintings, which are...
That's like my head.
And I find... And it's interesting because I've always found them just amazingly beautiful in this...
Yeah, they're so good. I'm so lucky that... I'm really so lucky about those because I just... So lucky. Those things are so cool, and I would encourage like every artist to make them. They just look so good. Yes. There's a lot of pretty people that I wouldn't want in my house. I'm just trying to think of analogies that I can respond with. So most of them are so dirty.
But are they, the analogies or the people?
The analogies.
Are the paintings interchangeable?
No, of course not. Like, paintings, they're, fortunate. I mean, what, no, I mean, each one is really, really special. Like, each one is just, it's as close as I can come, like, to making something like that's really great.
Yeah.
Like everyone has things that like it's just a coincidence. Like I love this shit. Like even if no one else likes it, like I love it. Like I don't have it in my house or anything, but I'll bring like 5 or 6 little paintings home sometimes and just lean them there and flip through them while I'm watching TV or something and just keep changing them. They look cool. I mean, I'm really happy that I'm get to work around all this awesome art, but I don't really feel necessarily like responsible for it.
Hmm.
I'm talking out loud. I'm really free associating here. I'm saying things I shouldn't say.
But why?
Because it makes it seem I'm blasé about it, and I'm not. Like it's really. It really takes it out of me.
No, I take what you're saying to be exactly the opposite. That it's not as blasé as one might seem. One might want to think, considering that you can mid-show change
the entire show. But I don't like people to know. I don't like people to know that things. But the work is all done in my head. It's not like
You're not destroying the painting.
As I'm going through life, like I'm seeing things and seeing what people do, and I don't know. Like sometimes one thing hits another thing and like sparks something else.
Well, what does
it changes
that
changes as my life changes? Like what?
What does that for you, at this point?
Right now I'm just thinking about stupid romantic stuff, like the brevity of life and how you know everyone's just working so hard and everyone's so cool. I just don't know what to do about it. You know, I've got all these great friends and. The world just seems so strange. So I'm just trying to deal with that.
I think we had a flurry of hands.
Yeah.
At some point.
Anything. Just ask it. Now's the time. Yeah.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Oh, there's... I hate going to openings, so I made those stools so I could just sit there the whole time at the opening and just chat with, because all the people who care about you come to your openings just like they come to something like this, and it's just so frustrating to just be standing there for hours, and people walk up, and with these stools, it made it a little more stable, but whenever you do something like two other things, especially in art, when everything's so objectified in contemporary art, it's not like painting used to be when you make a painting and it goes in someone's room or someone's house and it blends into life. Like art is all objectified, so the bar stools got really objectified and it made this nice surface. And I made them. I ordered them and made them because I wanted them. Like I needed a few for my house, and I figured I could give some to my friends and stuff, and they weren't that much money. And then I took all different types of stain and just painted them. They're cool. I just ordered 120 more. but I'm not for anything. I got these unassembled. I like staining things. With the stain and seeing, it doesn't look good on a painting, but to take a board and stain it, I mean it would look cool. Like it would look cool if you got like a bike that was mirrored or something, but it wouldn't look cool like art. And I like staining things. I like that you can take wood and take something so natural and make it go in your house. Yeah. Did I see a bunch of hands back there? Yeah, there they are. Okay. Well, it's done when I die. That's someone else's answer, but that's the one that I think that's the best one. Because when you keep looking at, I'm the only one that I care when something's done, and if I'm looking at it, it always changes. Like, I change. Like, if I go and look at something I haven't seen in a while, then I've changed since I've seen it, and it looks, I remember it in a different way. It's like a child that's been kidnapped and returns home years later. It just, it's not the same.
But there is that moment where...
When their paintings are... Yeah, when I sign them and send them out. Well, I'm trying to think of a way to say something that doesn't sound bad.
They have to look right.
Well, of course they look right. They're doing what I want to do. They're all working together, and they're doing what I want them to do. Or there's some sort of fight, you know, like where they're sort of having a little bit of a fight, and you still push them out on the stage anyway, just to see what happens. That's how I test things.
But so there seems to be this pattern between letting go of control and exerting control, and when you've sort of achieved something you're looking for, and also letting it go.
Oh yeah. You know, there's always going to be a painting before it and a painting after it, too. Like, I really, and the viewer has the luxury of feeling that, too. Maybe that's what kind of works with the paintings. It takes some of the pressure off the viewer, the knowledge that there was a painting immediately before this and there's a painting immediately after this. Like, I'm never working on a painting without thinking about the next painting. Hmm. And you can apply that sort of stuff to painting or to woodworking or to writing or anything, but you can't apply that to people. You gotta treat people differently than that. So maybe I get out like a lot of my impatience with people on my artwork. And I'm gonna have to write a check after this. No, that's good. I don't have any. There's so many bad drawings. It's the drawings are more cumulative, and the paintings, like, the paintings just, they're a little slower, and they're a little more, the drawings I have the luxury of just, granted I could waste, the drawings are in the books they function in all different ways. Some of them of course are slightly more finished, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time working on something. I don't really keep the drawings or anything. I just sort of photocopy them and bind them, and I don't know where they go. Like, they just sort of, they get lost or they disappear. Lately, I've been trying to bind stuff into these bigger books, but I don't really keep track of it. It's just not how I want to spend my time. Like, I like them, and I like looking at them and remembering things, but I don't want to spend my time keeping track of a bunch of drawings and papers. It's too much like office, like doing something in the office for me. And a lot of the books, is this still working? Mm-hmm. A lot of the books, looks like everyone's looking away. A lot of the books are not, are not that good. And I'm okay with that.
But the paintings are all great.
Yeah. The paintings are all great. And a lot of the books are just not that interesting or good, but a lot of poems aren't that good, and you still get something out of it.
Something's still expressed.
Yeah, and you can look at the thing on the paper and think about it, and that's all this is.
That's interesting, because there's a certain embrace of that kind of clumsiness or that kind of possibility of failure, which is so associated now with making art. It's a strategy that people are very drawn to because of, you know, a certain part of German painting from the 80s and early 90s. So that seems to be a strategy that people are very endeared to now.
Yeah, I'm so aware of that, and I'm afraid of that. And
why are you afraid of it?
Well, there's slight differences with the surfaces and the intention of. I'm really getting into that emo world, and I don't want to go there because it's not my style. Like, I don't like dumping on people. When I present something, I want to strip all the meaning out of it before I do. Like, that's my job. Like, I want to present something that is universally, can be looked at by people, and they can extract their own thing, put their own things into it and extract their own things. Like, I don't want to dump or unload any sort of issues I have. Like, I'm trying to leave things, I want to leave things slightly more, a little more open, so, like, I'm thinking of the viewer a lot. Mm. Like, I'm the viewer. Like, I think of myself as the viewer. And maybe that's a big deal. And I have a way of looking at things that's really disrespectful. Like, I don't really spend a lot of time looking at something. And I'm always trying to work on this, but I think that sort of scattered way I look at things maybe injects this, maybe some of the looks into the art. Who knows, really? I mean, Chicago, that's a painting that's made for me and for someone who else who wants it, someone to look at. It marks time. Physically, I should have brought some, and I had them in my hand. I wanted to bring a few paintings because they look really, you know, I'm making something that's meant, it's an object. It's just like ceramics or something. But it's art. It's a, whoa. you can't touch it like ceramics. It's not meant to be a tactile thing. I'm trying to think with the viewer and be, I'm trying to think as I'm making these things. I'm not trying to make something that I understand completely. I'm trying to make something that I can look at with everybody else.
Well, do you feel like that's a problem in a lot of the art you see, that sort of baggage that the artist assumes, or the backstory or the narrative that's implied in something?
I think a lot of art's just really mean. I think people are trying to get over on people, and people are trying to be lazy, and people are trying to hog up space and shipping materials. I think it's mean. I like art to be about, like, you know, trying to interact with other people, maybe from different places. It's just a way to talk to people who are reading the same and thinking, like, you know, who want to do that. So right. Some people play racquetball. I that's all I want. And people show up with all this baggage and all this stuff and all these issues, and it makes me just go.
You're not a fan of installation art.
I'm a fan of things that make logical sense, like that someone made because they felt not they didn't make it for they didn't make I don't want people it's not I should have thought this out clearly before I came here. It's not demonstrative. I don't want it to be. I want things have to make sense and be somewhat efficient. Now these are my issues. These are not. I don't apply these to everybody. I only apply these to myself. Like, I have a lot of friends who I learn a lot of stuff from who do things completely differently than me, and it just stuns and amazes me. Like, the lengths they'll go through to make something. And I learn stuff from these people, and I don't have that ability. Like, I do things. We all do things in our own sort of way. And
are you just looking for that?
Yeah,
like the moment where you're binding a book or you're just making a painting. That's ultimately what you're interested in.
I'm interested in a lot of things. I have but this painting is my way of simplifying it for myself. And I'm lucky that it's simplified in a way that I'm able to share it repeatedly with people and share it tonight like this, because it's cool and it gives me a lot to think about. I don't know if you've ever done a talk like this, but you tell people like everything you know in an hour, and it's really just like, I mean, not everything, not the little nuances, and not you're not in the deep parts, but you're on the top, and it's scary. Like, it makes me shake. Like, after this is done, it's hard for me because I like talking to people, but I don't like it to be about my art necessarily. I like, well, that's not true.
I mean, we were there the other day. I was bragging for like 2 or 3 hours.
You actually said, you said something that I will remember for a long time. You said I would never, something to the effect, I think this is pretty close, I would never let work go that I didn't think was responsible. That's what you said, which I thought was...
Oh, that was a pretty responsible thing to say.
Which I thought was a kind of, you know, a very self-reflexive and also kind of self-deprecating thing to say, but in a quite beautiful way. Because it implies a certain responsibility, a certain engagement, which is different from the authenticity or the lack of authenticity that people don't see in your work, that your work is about the lack of authenticity in painting or authenticity in painting as a style.
I always want to see something else, and I want to be the one who makes it. Like, it's unfortunate that sometimes I get stuck in a style. I'm trying not to, but at least I'm trying, you know? A lot of people don't try. Like, I'm gonna change. I know I can. See you, Roland.
Does anyone else have any questions? Yep.
Since you make so much work and so much of so similar, sometimes it gives the impression of being arbitrary, you know, mm-hmm. Is that something you want, or do you want to see the meaning that has to do with the meaning?
Well, nothing's... I want people to square, you know... I think about the paintings being spread out all over the world. I don't think about them being presented in a slide presentation. I think about walking into like a room, like somewhere, and seeing one of these things and how it's gonna look. Like, I don't think about them being presented in the sequence, and when I'm working on them, there's never like an assembly line thing going on. Especially with the paintings. With the collages, sometimes because of the way they dry and everything, I'll get 5 or 6 or a bunch like in a stack, and I'll work from one to another. But I really just think about that one moment where you, the viewer, like stands squared up to one of these paintings. Like, that's what I'm making them for. That's the correct context, like, that they're supposed to be seen in. But I hate when people say stuff like that. The thing is they're all really, each one has moments when I tighten it up. Like, I keep it really loose, and then I just tighten it up. Like, I see something, like an opportunity to just pinch it, to just pin it there to the wall. It's like trying to catch a really feral cat. You know, you just sort of watch it and study it and just see, like, that moment, you know, when it's just relaxed enough. And then you just put a box over it. Oh, did you see a slide of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I redid that piece, that Duchamp, when he made the string for Carol Green, for Green Naftali Gallery, for the show this summer. That must have been on the internet. That was a lot of fun. And that looked so... I mean, that is someone else's piece entirely. Like, I got credit for orchestrating it, but... It felt like you were there. It felt like you were in Duchamp's little labyrinth. It just looked, you could really feel the texture of the yarn. And I'm not that type of artist, but man, that was cool. And also, like, I just had everybody, like, everyone within arm's reach. I didn't make an effort to curate. I had just people, whoever, just bring stuff, like my friends and people I know, or people who know people that I know. I didn't really do a really thorough job of curating anything. It was just an opportunity to interact. I'm really into that. Anytime like I can have a social interaction with someone in a safe environment, especially one that I can control. That's my thing. Like, anytime
I will say this, you're an incredible host. You're a very gracious sort of gentleman. You're very attentive to people.
I have a problem. I have to get over that. I waste a lot of time being like that. But whatever. I just want people to... Okay, did you see the fish at the end there? So those fish, like... What do you think? A big fish just jumping on a canvas?
Well, I like drawing fish, and it's an easy. It kind of goes with the thing, and they look really good. I just think it's a picture, and I don't want it to be a picture. Can we see it again?
Oh, can we scroll through?
Go ahead. Yeah, of course we can. Yeah,
let's see if we can find it.
Does anybody else have any questions?
Can you see? Who's saying that?
I like them because...
Can you see it?
Because I don't have to show them to anybody yet. Like, I'm looking at them in a safe place, and they're... That's why I like them. I mean, I like them for that reason. I have to get something out of this, too. That's why I put them on here. The fish are...
There we go, right?
Yeah, they're just these... I crossed the...
I'm not sure how we can see that.
I mixed a bass and a trout.
Oops. I wasn't supposed to do that. Can we blow that up? Does someone know PowerPoint?
Go to slideshow.
We need Jacob's help.
It doesn't have a screen here.
Yeah. I think you'd have to scroll through.
Can you scroll back?
No, because it's timed. Anyway, well, does anyone else have questions so we can fill up this? We lost a fish. But.
Well, you know. What else? Yeah.
I've always kind of been seeing the name of the name as health insurance. And I was just wondering, all of that, like, especially you mentioned that it's the first thing that you did in art school, and I know a lot of people who self report is usually the first thing.
But it's the most, it's like, if you Google Josh Smith, you get like 3 million Joshua. You get the other Josh Smith, the basketball player. So there's also a generic aspect to the name that I think is also interesting.
Where I did in college, like I hate rock stars and people who think they're kind of a big deal. to try to make fun of that. Like I had an issue. I had like a little bone to pick, and that little pivot, like that little point of pivot, I guess maybe. There's all sorts of things, but it's not. It's a thing. That's what you're talking about, it, and that's okay, right there. I think, but this is gonna sound bad. But I think that the name paintings and the palettes and the collages, like these are art ideas. I think like artists could all do these ideas. Like, I don't think they would all be different. It wouldn't really bother me that much. It would be cool if like name paintings, like portrait painting, like people just be painting. But at the same time, like I'm not really into it. I would just assume painting another type of painting. But I get something out of these, and I would like to do them when I'm an old man. You know, wouldn't that be cool? 85 years old or something, just painting my name, like you know, like Charles Shelton. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. I'm really thinking about it. I really don't feel comfortable about it. And I like how they look. And it's one of those things that. You can't really explain it. It's really simple and stupid. It's one of those silly art things. Like you say, oh, he paints his name. You can too. It's just really simple. I mean, I'm lucky because I really just the way I work or the way I put something into it, something else is there. But the ideas themselves are just basic art ideas. Like the other stuff is stuff that's hard to talk about.
Do you want to do one more?
One more. The other stuff is stuff that you have to go to the stream about. Unfortunately, like, I have to share a lot with myself.
With a lot of people.
I don't care. I'm happy. I mean, I really am. It's just, you know, it's a lot to think about. I'm really happy to, you know, all these brains can sit in this room and at least try to think about, you know, the problems of this is. It is what it is. They look really good. I mean, it's visual art. You look at it, and it looks back. It's that, like, it kind of looks, it's there for you to look at.
Have you read the way that Shells and Gallery frames your work on the website?
No.
You have?
No.
It's great that you're playing for a talk that we're in for a while, but I think it's actually a shame because they talk about irony and they frame you as having this kind of like cool conceptual removal from the work. And that's what you're doing tonight.
Well, but I would not to cut you off, but I cut you off. I think that what's dangerous about that position and making those things sort of antinomic in some way is the fact that why would you look at the painting through any, I mean, if you're going to argue that the painting is ironic, right, that is it's a posture, there's a confrontation with the abstract painting, any amount of sincerity on the part of the artist would only emphasize it. I mean, this is what abstraction has been dealing with for 50 years, basically since the post-war period, is how do you gauge the authenticity of a painting act or the brushstroke as a calligraphic mark? And if you go back to the artist, which a lot of people did, it's the difference between the Kooning sort of naive, you know, painters don't have great ideas, and Barnett Newman's insistence that, you know, that gesture was something that was monumental and objective. Does it matter? I mean, does it matter how sincere or lack? I mean, the work has its function. It operates the way it's going to operate. It can be simultaneously about failure and irony and be about sincerity and authenticity. And I think that what I like about the discrepancy is what it says about how we read abstraction, particularly in a sort of post-Albert Olin kind of way. But I find that posture is it's an antithetical position that people take on, and they're relieved when they find out that the artist is serious, as somehow that, you know, it's the perfection of the life of the art, right? That which one is it going to be? And I find that actually in Josh's work to be sort of counterproductive, to sort of see it either way. Like, you're relieved that he's sincere, right? Right. Well, you can go by your own response to the work, which could range from, you know. Right. Right.
It takes a long time to get to know something too. Like, I don't know what it says, or but it takes a long time. You know, it's just pop in and have a look. That's all. Like, when you see it, you'll see it. Like, it takes a long time, and like with people too, it takes a long time to really get to know somebody and understand somebody. And of course my work's not human, but like artwork is. There's people who write about it. I mean, it's courageous because they're just like, you know, they can just. It's not courageous, but they can write whatever they want. It's their right. It's on this website that's supposed to be about like me. But what can you say? What are you gonna say? Like, he's really nice.
Well, but Agnes Martin's, you know, work is not about English teacups.
Well, maybe now that you say that, though. I mean,
maybe it is.
It does feel like porcelain, yeah. Or cracked porcelain or something.
I wish I hadn't said that, but it's true. It happens to be true.
I'm not saying that they should provide a different sound, like, just the fact that it's a specific sound like that, it doesn't offer
right.
The complication that exists in the work.
I hear you.
It functions more visually than I think right. The frame. I think the frame is not functioning primarily visually.
Right, that it's a critical project, right. But it is, right? I mean, but it is a critical project, because it you know, to play devil's advocate, I think that is part of the efficacy of the work. That's part of its power, I think, is how rhetorical it can be. You know, and going and vacillating between those two poles, I think, is fascinating. If it didn't, it would just be like, you know, I mean, how many people make abstract paintings in New York? Like, there's a lot. You know, and there's a lot of really bad. So the fact that it does that, I think, is interesting, that it can go back, rather than just being boring, highly formal, reductive, you know, these monumental painting gestures or...
So much is about context, too. Like, you can say or see whatever you want, but the context is everything to contemporary art. I mean, it's everything. I mean, my paintings, fortunately, are small enough that they can fit into, like, my parents' house or my house. Like, they're not huge, but artists have a serious responsibility that's often... not neglected, but just like purposely overridden to try to be considerate about context and that type of thing. And a lot of times it gets forgotten. People just focus so much on this object that they're making that they don't think about the viewers. They just think about how cool this fucking thing is that they're making. And then it's there, and everyone's standing around it like, lickety split. Get out of here. What time is it?
I have no idea. But we can... What's that? All right,
we can go longer. I thought it was like 9. What else do you want to talk about? See, because when artists and art people get together, it's a rare opportunity to shoot the shit in a neutral setting. You can take some shots at me, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Seriously.
course in college, like when I went to college, I had to choose between business and art, and I chose art because I liked art and I didn't want to be a businessman. And so I stuck to it, and I decided like if I was gonna do art, that I was gonna learn do it like a tradesperson. So that's why I took printmaking. So I learned like a technical skill as well as learning aesthetic things. And when I mix the technical with the aesthetic, I owe a lot to Michael Brocky and Ann Craven, who are here tonight. They were at Tennessee. They were my teachers there, and they taught me about ideas and mixing ideas with technical things. That's big shit. And that like made it really interesting to me, you know, that you could use art not just as an image, but as a vehicle for stuff that's in your mind and in your heart.
Do you see a link between your work and Ann Craven's work? Now that you said that, I actually see a really kind of an interesting relationship there.
Of course. I mean, she taught me so much about painting, technically.
Yeah.
About stretching canvases and priming canvases and how to mix mediums and stuff. So we share a lot of, I stole a lot of stuff from her. But she steals from me, too. I mean, I like stealing. That's my thing. I mean, that's what it's about, right? You can take little things from people. It's fun. You can have whatever you want from me.
Well, we do one more, and then I think we have to close up shop.
Well, there are no more.
There might be one. You know, somebody might feel shy.
Let's ask it on the way out.
All right.
Thank you very much for coming.